141 days before the Battle of Fal. The Fal system. My scream woke me from the dream. My eyes snapped open. For a moment I thought I was blind, that I was still on Inwit, and that the cold had stolen my sight. Then the chill touch of my armour cut the long-distant past from the present. I was not blind, and my brother had fallen from my hand long ago. I felt cold, as if the dream had reached into reality to wrap me in a memory of Inwit's chill. Ice covered my helmet's eye lenses, turning the view into a frosted haze of slowly shifting light. The ice was pink, the colour of snow melted to slush by blood. Warning runes pulsed at the corner of my eyes, slow, dim red. Hard vacuum warning, armour integrity warning, gravity condition zero, injury assessment, armour power low. I could not remember where I had been, or how I had come to be freezing while my armour died around me. I blinked, tried to focus my thoughts. Sensations began to creep across my body. A numbed echo of pain from my right leg, a black absence of all feeling from my left hand, a metallic taste on my tongue. I am alive, I thought, and that is enough for now. I tried to move my right arm, but the armor resisted no matter how hard I strained. I tried to close my left hand. Nothing. I could not even feel my fingers. I looked back to the weakening pulse of the warning runes. The armor had cycled down to minimum power, turning it into little more than a lifeless shell of metal. It was keeping me alive, but it must have taken severe damage. I closed my eyes, steadied my pulse. I knew where I was. I was floating free in the vacuum of space. The armor was keeping my body warm, but it was failing. Its power would fade, and I would begin to bleed more heat into the void. My enhanced flesh would last for longer than that of an ordinary human, but the cold would eventually reach my hearts and still their twin beats to silence. It was only a matter of time. For a second, my control almost broke. I wanted to scream, to thrash against the iron embrace of the armor. It was the instinct of a creature trapped beneath the water, its last breath burning in its lungs, the blackness of inevitability closing around its life. I let out a slow breath, forcing the instinct to stillness. I was alive, and while I lived, I had a choice. "Repower all systems," I said. A pulse of electric sensation ran through my body as the armor obeyed. Almost as soon as the armor powered up, it began to scream. Sympathetic pain stabbed into my spine. Overlapping warning chimes filled my ears. Angry runes pulsed across my helmet display. I blinked the warnings away and the chimes faded. There were at most a few minutes of power left before the armor became a tomb. I brought my right hand up and scraped the melting ice from the helmet lenses. Light poured into my eyes, raw and white-edged. I was floating in a vast chamber lit by sunlight that came from a source somewhere behind me. A layer of pink frost covered everything, glittering in the stark light like a sugar glaze on a sweet cake. Small crystals floated all around me, turning slowly with the last of their fading momentum. Irregular shapes, coated in rose-coloured rime, hung in mid-air across the chamber. I blink-clicked a faint marker on my helmet display. The Vox system activated with a moan of static. I set it to a full spectrum broadcast. "This is Alexis Pollux of the 7th Legion." My voice sounded hollow inside my helmet, and only more static answered me. I set the broadcast to a looped cycle that would last until the power faded. "Perhaps someone will hear. Perhaps there is someone that can hear." Something bumped against my shoulder and spun lazily into view. A frozen lump, a little wider than my hand. It spun lazily, end over end. I reached out to knock it away, and it turned over and looked at me with lifeless eyes. Memory flashed through me, the hull splitting with an iron roar as the ship spilled from the warp storm's grasp, blood arcing across the deck as debris sliced through the air, a human officer shouting, his eyes wide with terror. I had been on a ship. I remembered the deck shaking under my feet and the screams of the storm outside the hull. I jerked my hand back from the severed head, and the sudden movement sent me spinning through the frozen blood spray. The chamber rotated around me. I saw the ice-clogged servitor niches and mangled banks of instruments. A tiered Auspex dais pointed down at me from the floor, its screens and hollow projectors looking like the branches of a tree under winter snow. I tried to steady my momentum, but I just continued spinning. Warnings began to shriek in my ears. Power failing, power failing, power failing. Sights flicked past me, suffused in the warning rune's ruddy light. There were bodies fused to the walls by layers of blood ice. Sections of splintered yellow armour drifted amongst limbs and shattered bone. Severed bundles of cabling hung from the walls like strings of intestine. Streamers of data parchment floated beside the fetal shapes of frozen servitors. I spun on and saw the source of the light. A bright white sun shining through a wide tear in the hull. I could see the glittering blue sphere of a planet hung against the star-dotted darkness. Between me and that starlight was a sight that made me stare as my view turned over. Dead warships lay spread across the void. There were hundreds of them, their golden hulls chewed and split like worried carcasses. Vast strips of armour had peeled back from cold metal guts to show the lattice of chambers and passages within. Mountain-sized hulls had been portioned into ragged chunks. It was like looking at the jumbled remains of a slaughterhouse. All my brothers are gone, I thought, and felt colder than I had for decades. I remembered Helios, my true brother, my twin, falling into darkness from the end of my fingertips. Power failing, the warning runes chimed. Final memories clicked into place. I knew where we had been going, where all of us had been going. I stared at the graveyard and knew one more thing with certainty. Power failing. We have failed, I said to the silence. Respond. The mechanical voice filled my helmet, broken and raw with static. It took me a heartbeat to reply. This is Captain Pollux of the 7th Legion, I said as my helmet display dimmed. Bursts of static filled my ears. I could feel the armour stiffening around me, its power finally drained. A quiet numbness began to spread across my body. The helmet display faded to black. I felt something bump into my chest and then fasten around me with a grind of metal. In the prison of my dying armour, I could feel myself falling into darkness, falling beyond sight and pain, falling like my brothers. I am alone in the darkness and cold, and I always will be. We have you, brother, said a voice that was a machine whisper. It seemed to carry out of a night filled with dreams of the ice and dead ships glittering in starlight. I knew it would fall to me. I knew the protocol of our legion as well as any other, but that did not stop me wishing it was otherwise. The remembrancers and iterators speak of the Legiones Astartes and say that we are without fear, that nothing fills our hearts and minds but resolve and fury. Of the Imperial Fists, they say more, that we have souls of stone, that emotion is silent inside our flesh. The truth, as ever, is something that words cannot touch. If we felt nothing, we would have failed in the thousands of wars we have fought on the Emperor's behalf. Without doubt, to temper boldness, our enemies would have slaughtered us many times over. Without rage, we would have never have reached the heights of glory. I do not feel fear, but inside me something of it remains, mutilated and withered, its strings tuned to different notes. Where a human would feel fear, I feel the tug of another emotion, one layered and spliced into my psyche by the process that made me. Sometimes it is rage, caution, or cool calculation, and sometimes it is dread, a ragged echo of fear that is lost to me. And it was dread that I felt as the leadership of the fleet gathered on the tribune. They passed me as they filed into the granite and bronze chamber, 100 war leaders arrayed for battle. Intricate silver patterns wove across the golden yellow surface of each suit of armor, and the emblem of the clenched fist, worked in jet, gleamed from chests and pauldrons. Some were old, their faces lined and scarred. Others seemed young, though they were not. There was Pertinax, watching me with green machine eyes. Beside him walked Casimus, who had held the towers of Velga for 6 months. There, Iago, who had fought in the first pacification of Luna. Beside them were marshals, siege masters, and legion seneschals. Between them, they carried half a millennium of waging war. Once they had all passed, I followed, walking down to the center of the chamber. The machine adepts were repairing my armor, so I wore a saffron robe, knotted at the waist with a blood-red cord. I stand taller than all my brothers, and even without my armor, I still dwarfed every warrior in the room. The chamber was silent, and my steps echoed as I limped between my peers. I could feel their eyes on me, watching, waiting. My left arm was stiff at my side, the old scars of teeth, and the newer wounds hidden by my robe's wide sleeve. The healing flesh shot traces of pain up my nerves. None of it showed on my face. The chamber was deep in the hull of the Tribune, now the flagship of the Retribution fleet, or what was left of it. Polished bronze lined the walls, and its floor descended in tiers of black granite. Firelight from braziers filled the chamber with a red glow, and a ghost-green projection of a star and planets revolved above the open space at its center. Tyre had told me what must happen. He had come to see me as I recovered under the eyes of the apothecaries. "It falls to you, Pollux," he had said, looking down at me, his eyes dark in his axe-sharp face. The medical servitors had been bonding flesh to the left side of my body, or I would have risen to reply. As it was, I had to remain on the steel slab as the razor lasers and cauterizing torches worked to rebuild my mashed and frozen muscle. "There are others, more worthy," I had said, without breaking his stare. The edge of a sneer twitched at the edge of Tyre's mouth. Control is one of the first qualities required of an Imperial Fist, and I had no doubt that Tyre's hint of derision was no slip. Maybe he thought my words a sign of weakness, a betrayal of a flaw not yet discovered in my decades of service. Perhaps he simply did not like me. We are brothers, bonded together by oaths and the blood of our Primarch, but brotherhood does not require friendship. In truth, I do not know what he thought. I have always been apart, unable to read the signs of my legion brothers' thoughts. They are blank to me, and perhaps me to them. Tyre had shaken his head, the hunched shoulders of his Terminator armor shifting with the small movement. "No, brother, you are Yonad's pupil, the heir to his command. The Primarch and Sigismund passed it to him, now it is yours. But it is not yours to refuse." I had looked into Tyre's eyes that were so like our Primarch's. I had not spoken from false modesty. There were others more worthy to lead a force that was still a fifth of our legion's full strength. Better men had survived the wreck of the fleet, commanders with more campaign experience, higher in the roles of honour and more skilled at arms. Tyre was one such leader. I am no hero, no champion of the legion. I know how to defend and attack, how to stand and not to yield. I have nothing else. It is all I have. But we are imperial fists, and form and order is not something we set aside easily. Yonad had designated me as his successor. That command might fall to me so soon was a possibility I doubt he contemplated. But they had pulled me alive from a frozen wreck, and the storm had taken my mentor. Tyre was right. I could not refuse. It was my duty, and that duty led me in limping steps to the centre of a circle of my peers. I stopped at the chamber's centre, under the turning display, and looked up at the faces lining the raked tiers. 100 pairs of eyes glittered at me from the shadows. I felt deeply honoured, and completely alone. The truth was that I did not fear the command. Yonad was the Legion's finest fleetmaster, and I was his best pupil. I had commanded expeditionary fleets and campaigns of conquest. With Yonad dead in the storm, I was his heir. It was an honour the Legion had tutored and trained me for, but it was an honour I did not want. Our fleet was the Primarch's first answer to his brother's treachery. 561 ships and 300 companies had left the phalanx. First Captain Sigismund had been given command, but the Primarch had taken him back to Terra, and so we had jumped towards Istvan under Yonad's command. The storm had seized us as we entered the warp, and it had not let go. The navigators could not find the beacon light of the Astronomicon, and every course took us deeper into the tempest. We were lost, drifting on the currents of a malign sea. After what seemed like many weeks, the navigators perceived a break in the storms, a single point of stillness. We had fled towards it, and the storm's fury had followed. The fleet had translated into reality on the edge of a star system. The power of the storm in those last moments was like nothing I had ever felt. Geller fields failed, hulls sheared into fragments and burned in the fires of their own reactors. Some ships had reached safety, but many had died, their corpses spat out of the warp to freeze in the void. 200 warships lost, their remains left spinning in the light of a forgotten star. They had found me in the remains of one of those broken wrecks. I was one of the few. 10,000 imperial fists gone. I could not grasp that loss. 363 warships remained. The fates of over 20,000 of my brother imperial fists were now in my hands. It was a weight that I had never carried before. I must, I thought, even if it is more than I can bear. I must. I nodded once to the assembled chamber. Silence. Then 100 fists slammed into chest plates in unison. I gestured across the slowly rotating projection of the system we found ourselves in. Its name was Fal, a system so minor and unnoted that it existed only as an obscure footnote in navigational records. The projection spun, the orbiting planets disappearing as a section of the image grew to show the surviving Imperial Fist's vessels. I let it rotate for a moment. There was a question that all those present needed to consider. 500 vessels aimed at the heart of the greatest betrayal ever committed. 200 lost as they fled to the one point of calm amidst the storm. 2 planets once inhabited, now empty. I looked at where shifting purple clouds represented the relative warp conditions around the system. Here we sit, surrounded by the storms that drove us here, cut off from communication, contained, trapped. I looked up at the watching faces. Some were nodding, as if seeing where I was going. Perhaps they had already seen the same elements of our situation and made the same judgment. I knew how to construct a trap, had used them in dozens of wars, and I knew what it was to kill a weakened and surprised enemy. Looking at the projection of our fleet, floating in the foul system, I saw a trap. How anything could create such a thing was beyond me, but I knew what every instinct was telling me. "And if we have been trapped here," I said, and my voice carried through the silent chamber, "who is coming for us?"